Praise the Lord Jesus. Why don't you give the Lord a clap of praise? Amen. You're happy to have another opportunity to worship Him? Amen. Amen. What an opportunity that we have. Every day is a day, should be a day of worship, right? Not just when we have service. Every day we should have our minds and our hearts, amen, ready to worship Him at any given time. Praise the Lord. Good to have Brother Jack with us and his family and any other ones that came with him. It's good to have you all with us. And we just welcome you in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Amen. Let's just give all that we got to Him. This could be our last service. So why not just give Him everything that you have, right? Don't wait for me to pump you up. Amen. You pump yourself up. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit, amen. You're here to worship Him. Amen. You're not here to worship the man. You're not here to worship me. You worship God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So let's just sing this song, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's just worship Him this afternoon.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Sing it unto Him.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Special. I think Rachel, did you all have a special? Amen. Y'all welcome to come. Now, you may be seated.
Thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, it's a beautiful day. Lord, I thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy. It's a beautiful
Thank the Lord for the sunshine. Thank the Lord for all that He gives us. Thank Him for another day. Thank Him for these children that are singing and praising the Lord. Amen. Just give them a Lord, give them one clap of praise. Thank you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this song, Let the Worshippers Arise, key of F. Amen. Father, I see that you were drawing line in the sand, and I want to be standing, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come. Yes, let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Once again. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Oh, Father, I hear it growing louder, the song of your redeemed, as the bride of every nation is awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I surrender in my all, I surrender to the King. Oh, Father, I see the Lamb arising with the book of His redeem. We have opened up seals, and now the bride will see. This brand new revelation, a song of eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is our King. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Once again now. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the good thing it is to surrender to Him. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Bob, you want to help us take up our offering?
Praise the Lord. Well, God, we're so grateful to be able to gather here today, Lord, and we come expecting, Lord, and expecting to receive, Lord, and I pray, Lord, to just bless us here today, Lord. Bless this offering as we give back to You, Lord. We're so grateful for all the things that You've given to us, Lord.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, that You just bless this service now. We pray in Your name.
Amen. I don't know if the sisters from Florida, if they have a special or not. If they don't. If you do, we can sing a song right here, and then you guys just think about it. And then if you do, just come on up. But however the Lord leads. Amen. Let's sing this Highway to Heaven, Key of C. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. I gotta have the book too.
Highway.
Sing that again.
Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Walking up the King.
First verse.
If you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. There is joy in knowing with Him I am going. Walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven. Walking up the King's highway.
Second verse.
My way gets brighter, my load gets lighter. I'm walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me, His love to guide me. Walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven. Walking up the King's highway.
Sing that last verse again.
Oh, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter. Walking up the King's highway. Christ walks beside me and His love to guide me. I'm walking up the King's highway. Oh, it's the highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven, walking up the King's highway. Once again, it's the highway. Oh, it's the highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's the highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway.
Amen. Give the Lord a clap of praise this afternoon. Does our sisters want to sing? Praise the Lord Jesus. You may be seated.
God bless you.
Amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flow, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flow, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoices to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though bow as he wash all my sins away.
Team.
dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God are safe to
appreciate that, sister. That was wonderful. Wonderful. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Go ahead and have Brother Wade come. Amen. Let's just sing, Take Up Your Cross, key of F. Give as he comes. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross. Ashamed to say that you know Him. Just count the cost. Take up your cross and follow Him. Sing it again. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your
Saturday afternoon. Good to have each and every one of you here. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Just praise God that we got a God we can serve. We got a God that we know who He is.
Amen.
And He's not the third one or the second one. He's the only one.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we believe in this church. And I know that man in that behind that door does too. But it's good to have his wife and his daughter with us. Let's give them a hand. This is the first time they've all been here. So let's treat them nicely so they can come back. But we've known Brother Jack of him and years ago, and Brother preached for Brother Willie Smiley 100 years ago. And Brother Jack, that's Brother Jack's brother-in-law. And I think Brother Joe Canada kind of brought it to my attention that to get Brother Jack up here and let him talk to the youth. We got some that's out, some's on, not vacation, but they're on spring break. So, but you know what? The ones that's supposed to be here, we're here.
Right.
And what we're going to get from the people that's here.
Amen.
So you pull on the gift and let God work through Brother Jack, and let's just keep our minds on him, keep our minds out from, you know, what's going on outside. We're in a safe place. We're in the pavilion today.
Right.
We've run into the pavilion.
Amen.
And we're expecting God to meet us here.
Amen.
Protect us and meet us here.
Amen.
All right? So good to have each and every one of you with us. We're going to tomorrow. We got pretty much all the Sunday school teachers. Tomorrow we will not have Sunday school. We'll start service at 10 o'clock. And the ones that don't know this, they'll get here early. So, but we're going to have, Brother Jack's got to catch a flight to Atlanta, so him and his wife and daughters got to get out of here, we always say in the South. They got to get out of here pretty quick, around 12:30. They got to be gone to get to Atlanta, to get on that plane, and to get back to West Palm Beach, Florida. You sisters, hug our sisters real close. They're cold. They've been cold since they got here. I got Brother Jack. I got him. He's got a coat and a jacket, but they're from Florida, you know, so they think this is frigid Northwest. They said, this ain't nothing. It ain't nothing compared to North. But may the warmness of your heart warm up your body. All right. And let's introduce our Brother Jack Duff. He's going to come and speak for us and take his liberty after we get finished. We're going to have a meal downstairs, and then we're going to have activities for the young. We're going to have activities for the older ones, Bible trivia, something like that, different things. But it's just a day to fellowship. Nobody's got to go home early. Everybody's here, so let's just enjoy what God's give us. Amen? So let's sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus as our brother Jack comes. And he'll be preaching tomorrow. We'll start at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Try to get him in the pulpit about 10:30, and so he can take his liberty. I told him we like to eat meat here, and I gave him a challenge. Choke us. So he's got a big challenge, so... But today we want to invite him here. Don't be nervous. This is just family, bro. This is a family reunion. This is just some of the people you ain't met yet. But this is just family. So you just take your liberty and just feel at home. Just let's sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
The Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Amen. I'll let the musicians have their seats. Amen. Appreciate you all. This is wonderful. Wonderful. Nice taste of what heaven's going to be like. Amen. And we're certainly happy to be here in fellowship with you all. This weekend, I was telling Brother Wade that this church has blessed many people all over the world for a number of years. And so it's really good to be here. We thank God for Brother Samuel Dell, amen, and just all his labor over the years and just all how the Lord has used him. And Brother Wade, we met a few years ago and you know, at some camps there with Brother Burley Williams and Brother Wade and his wife, and I believe some of the saints, they would come and just kind of serve in those camps, and you know, just always behind the scenes, really not doing anything up front, but taking care of the food and all of that, and that's a very important job. And we just appreciated, you know, how they served and just what a blessing they were, because we took a lot of young people to those meetings, and many lives were really, really transformed by, you know, what happened there. So we just appreciate that. So when I heard that Brother Wade wanted me to come by, you know, there are certain places, I'm going to be honest, there are certain places you go, and you get invited, and you have to, the first thing I mean, you don't even think about it. I got to pray about that. I really got to pray about that. And there's other places that you get invited to. You say, how can I get there? Because you know that the seed has already been sown. And this is a church that you all sowed seeds for years. You know, so it's like, how can I get there and do what I can for the cause of Christ? So we're happy to be here. Amen. My wife, Sister Erica, is with me. And also my daughter, Sister Sarah, my youngest daughter. We thank God for them being with us. So we bring you greetings from West Palm Beach, Florida. Sunny, South Florida. Yeah, very warm. 90 degrees warm. We bring you greetings from Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Amen. There in West Palm Beach, Florida. All right. I won't take too much of your time. Have you stand. And let's turn in our Bibles really quickly to two passages of Scripture. One is Matthew 19. And being that we are directing service to the youth, I will do all I can to make sure that we put cookies on the lower shelf so that the children can get to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I will not try to choke the church in any way. Because I tell you what, I've seen people do that and then they end up on the deep end somewhere. So we just want to bring the gospel to the Lord Jesus. Matthew 19 and verse 16, it says this. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And real quickly over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we'll catch a verse there as well. Amen. Deuteronomy 30. I gave the brothers a number of verses there, but I only want to read one. Verse 19 in Deuteronomy 30. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow in a brief word of prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to read the word of God. But we know it takes the Holy Spirit to come and quicken, Lord, what we've read, that it would apply to us even right now. So we ask that you would minister to every heart, those that are present, those that are online. We know that you have complete control over each and every person, God. So we ask that you would get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Again, so since we are talking primarily to the youth, we have prepared in that fashion. And we want to just use for a title today, Make the Right Choice. Amen. Make the Right Choice. We want to just kind of start here by reading a few things from the prophet. The brothers that have this in the back, I'm actually starting at the second paragraph here in this message, Thirsting for Life. Brother Branham makes a statement that says, And if we had been brought to this place by the grace of God and were free moral agents, to make a choice. And if the Holy Spirit that brought us from the earth and starts to brooding to our hearts, and we accept him and brood back to him, how much more is he able to raise us up in the last days when we got a chance to make a choice? All right. He says, so it could only be through the brooding of the Holy Spirit. That's how life comes, is by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you can only have life by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can in no wise see the kingdom of God. And it goes on. He says this, and the psalmist saying, thy love and kindness is better than life. Then I began to think, what kind of life was he speaking of, that the love and kindness of father was better than life? Then it come to my mind, there is a way that seemeth like it's life. And I love that statement here, you know, because I'll go forward in this quote in a little bit. But when we think about life, as especially when it comes to young people, the enemy or Satan loves to try to get us to think that we're missing out on life when we're serving God. Right. He tries to get us to think that, you know, there's so much more outside of serving God there, you know, and unfortunately, there is a lot more out there, but it's only produced in death. Amen. I mean, I was reading something a little earlier today, just a little devotion. And Brother Branham's saying, you're going to pay. So a young man would get his check. And he wants to take this young girl out. But when he goes out to take her to eat, he has to pay. If they want to go to a club, he has to pay. If they want to go here, he has to pay. It's going to cost you something to go out there and try to enjoy life. But when you come to Christ, you come without a price, right? It's without money and it's without price. And it's something that gives you eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. You can never go wrong by serving God. Never, ever go wrong. And I love the way even what we read in scripture, the things that you choose today will actually affect you and your seed. Right. It's not just you. But even as young people, as you decide right now, you're not even married. Some are not even married. But if you decide right now, I'm going to serve God, that will affect your family in the future. Hallelujah. Amen. It pays to serve God. Here he goes on in this quote and he says, then I begin to think, what kind of life was he speaking of, that the love kindness of father was better than life? Then it came to my mind that there is a way that seemeth like it's life. It's a perverted life. All right. He says, now the devil cannot create nothing. God is the only creator there is. And what is unrighteousness is righteousness perverted. Then we notice that there's a perversion of righteousness makes unrighteousness. It's not original. It's not right. The original, it is right. It says, therefore, God had no beginning and he has no ending. And if we become part of God, we can no more die than God can die, because we got his life in us by the new birth. And we're just as eternal as God is eternal. We cannot perish. Jesus said, he that heareth my words, believeth on him that sent me and hath eternal life shall never come into the judgment, but is passed from death to life. Now, before I go further, amen, in my quotes, we're talking about making the right choice. Brother Branham, you know, makes some statements here. You can just take that down for me, because these are my personal notes, and I'll just give them only the quotes. But where you see the little bullets, those are my personal notes. But when we talk about choice, Brother Randall made some comments about choice. He said choice is actually a great thing. Yeah, sure. Right? So no matter what age we are, we all have to make choices. Yeah. Right. No matter what age we are, we all are making choices, you know, and I can tell you right now, some of those choices that you make, you know, you get a chance to choose your friends. Young people, you get a chance to choose your friends. You get a chance to choose who you're going to hang with. You get a chance to, you know, and at a certain point in life, maybe not right now, but you get a chance to choose your church. Right. You get a chance to choose what pastor you're going to sit under. Right. What pastor you raise your kids under. You get a chance to do that. Right. You get a chance to choose your spouse when you're thinking about getting married. It is your choice. No one makes you marry that person. It is your choice. And when you make the choice, you have to live with the choice. right? You get a chance to, for some of those that's probably not at the age of thinking about marriage, you get a chance to choose whether to lie or not lie. Amen. Everybody makes a choice when something happens in the house. And, you know, and I don't know about your parents, but I've always had this extra person living in my house. And I don't know how they got there, whether it's a he. I don't know. He, she. I don't know what it is. But I'd ask my kids, who did this? I don't know. And I don't know, became a person that lived in my house, and I could never find this person. Who is? I don't know. He has to live here somewhere. Right. I could never talk to I don't know. Right. So a child has the opportunity to choose to lie or not lie. And there are results from lying and not lying. You can choose to say yes or no to trouble. You can choose to get involved or not get involved. You get a chance to choose. Right. You can choose to serve God or you can choose not to serve him. Right. You can choose to follow God's word or you can choose not to. Right. We all have a choice. Right. Some of the things that you cannot choose is you can't choose the family you were born in. Right. You can't change that. You can't choose the family that God orchestrated. God foreordained the family that you'll be born in. Right. You can't choose your height. You can't choose that. God choose that. God, you can't choose your eye. Well, I shouldn't say that because nowadays people go and change their eye colors. But your natural eye color, you can't choose. God is the one that ordained that. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. There's a lot of things you can't choose. You can't choose your genetic makeup. God is the one that has configured all of that, if we can put it that way. God did that himself. And the reason he did that is because you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He had a special design just for you. And there's no one can take your place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But so there are things that we can choose and things that we can't choose. Choice is a great thing, the prophet says. He says there's an unwritten law among us of choosing. And it says you have the right to choose. You have the right to choose. And you also have the right. You have to live with the results of whatever choice or whatever decision you make. Amen. Here in the message leadership, Brother Branham says this. He says, the first is a mother's kindness, then the father's word. And after the mother gives you your first step, then you look to your daddy, all of us, for wisdom, because he is the head of the house. Right. And usually not that he's any smarter, but he's just made a leader of his family. So we follow what our daddy says do. When he says, now, son, I would like for you to do a certain thing. Then we listen to him because it's wisdom. But listen, see, he has learned a whole lot. And we've got to ask him to see what he learned. And then we can profit by what he has learned. He tells us, now don't go and do this because I did that. My father told me not to do it, but I did it and caused this to happen to me. Something bad. So see, then he, daddy, tells us how to do and what to do right. Goes on, he says, then after mother leads us till the time we have to get a little wisdom to understand from daddy. And then we get another leader, and that's a teacher. A good school teacher. She tries to teach you and give you an education to fit you better in life, a position. You can read your Bible and you can read the songs and you can learn of God and read yourself, if you see. And, you know, Brother Branham, you know, had one of these teachers like that, was kind of teaching him. And he always talked about he had a really bad temper problem. And this teacher, what she would tell him to do, said, now, before you go out there and get in a fight, I want you to take a string and I want you to tie so many knots in that string. And then by the time you get all those knots tied, hopefully your temper will calm down. You won't need to fight. Yeah. Well, Brother Branham would go and start tying that string and say, before he can get maybe one knot in, it was just so out of control that he took off fighting anyway. He just could not get that temper under control. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But we realize what got the temper under control is when he come in contact with the Holy Ghost. That's what got his temper under control. Hallelujah. If we find ourselves in a place where we have a temper problem, we need to come in contact with the Holy Ghost. He'll take care of that temper issue. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the prophet goes on to say this. He says, you can read your Bible and you can read the songs and you can learn of God and read yourself, you see. And then another thing, maybe you'd have business and somebody write you a letter. Mama, daddy, somebody write you a letter. You couldn't read it, see. So the teacher, she has you then and she leads you to learn to write and to read. And it's a good thing, a good teacher to teach you right. But now, after you leave that, after you leave the teacher, one teacher after the other one, from a little primer, a little first grade, until you get out of high school or go to college. Then when you leave college, and then the teacher is through leading you, see, he says, now mama has taught you to walk. See, Papa has taught you how to be brilliant and a nice young man and how to take care of yourself and behave yourself. The teacher has taught you in education how to read and write. But now you're leaving Papa. You are leaving Mama and you are leaving the teacher. Now somebody has to take you from here on. Now, who do you want to take you from here on? Who do you want to take you from here on? Right. We might have some young people that might be facing graduation at high school. Who do you want to take you from here on? Maybe even graduate from college. Who do you want to take you from here on? Right. And here, you know, Brother Brandon, while he's sitting there and giving his sermon of leadership there in Arizona, one of the little kids just yells out and says, Jesus. And Brother Brandon said, that's right. That's right. Jesus to take you from there on. He said, now that's a very good answer. Very fine. Jesus takes you from there on. Amen. And that's exactly what we want. You know, you have to make the choice whether you're going to allow Jesus to take you from here on or you're going to allow yourself to lead you. You have to make a choice. Amen. You have to make a choice. Amen. All right. Let's see here. Let me just read this other one here as we just kind of go into something, because, you know, we want to just kind of show different ones in the Bible that made choices and how their choices worked out, and other ones that didn't work out because they made the wrong choice. We want to encourage you, make the right choice. Here in this sermon, the conflict between God and Satan, Brother Branham says this: Satan in Eden, when he first come to those attacked to attack a person, knowing the children of God was fortified with his word, Satan attacked the word. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Right. I want you to think about that. He attacked what they believed. The word, what they were standing on, he attacked what they were believing. Amen. And really, that's how Satan, he does the same thing even right now. Some of the young people that struggle, Satan begins to get you to question your faith. He attacks what you believe. He's not attacking you directly. Right. He attacks what you believe. Right. And before you know it, you allow those thoughts just to fester. And you find you question this and you question that and you question all these things. And next thing you know, you're so far out, you don't know how you got there. He attacked the word. Look at this. The prophet says, knowing the children of God was fortified with his word, Satan attacked the word. He never attacked the being. He attacked the word first. Look at that sneaker, lizard, what he does today. The first thing he can't lay it on, first thing he can't lay it on, say, well, that's not a good person. That's a good person, see. But the only thing he tries to do, no matter how good the person is to get them to deny that word. That's just the only thing he wants to do, get you to deny that word. So Satan tried to attack the word in the Garden of Eden. So he had to have something now that he could use to the human being. Would look better than the word. See, had to have something that would look better to the human being than the word. And do you know what he used? Yeah. Something that looked better than the word to the human being. What Satan used was reasoning. Says reasoning, just what he said, common sense. So that's what he used, and he succeeded. So that's what he's used all along. Brother Branham goes on and says, but God can't give us nothing else but his word, because that's what he chose first. And when God makes a decision, even God made a choice. God made a choice. God, when God had to choose something to give his people to defeat Satan with. And let me tell you something. When God made a choice, this was not something that would only defeat Satan 4,000 years ago. or 5,000 years ago. When God makes a choice, it's an eternal decision. And God made a decision that he give his people something that would defeat Satan no matter what day and time that they were living in the earth. Hallelujah. No matter what generation they were living in, they would still be able to defeat Satan with the same weapon that everybody before them defeated him with. Hallelujah. And that weapon is the word of God. We use the word of God to defeat the enemy with. Look at what he says here. He says, Satan said, when God makes a decision, God has to ever remain that way. Yes, Satan took reasoning and attacked the word and shook Eve off the path. That's right. By reasonings, human reasoning. Now, the only way that she could have got to disbelieve God's word, it had to be appealing. And Satan knows how to make reasoning appealing. It has to appeal to you, and sin is very appealing. He says, and there's only one sin, and that's unbelief. So if it's really appealing, Satan makes sin so appealing to you. Satan used reasoning to attack the word. But God gave you the word in order to overcome the enemy. As we can see at the very beginning with Adam and Eve, they had to make a choice. And no matter who we are, what generation we live in, we all come to a place of choice. Right? Adam and Eve had to choose whether to eat of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And we know, according to Scripture, they made the wrong choice. Amen. They ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and it's created all the problems that we have in the world today. We understand that the attributes of God have still been expressed through it. God has a way of making, amen, things work out to his perfect will, no matter what it is. But nonetheless, what would life have been like had they not made that choice? Adam and Eve had to make a choice. We can look back, amen, in the days of Abraham. Abraham had to choose to leave the land of Ur and dwell in the plains of Mamre. Amen. He had to make that choice. And once he made the choice, God showed him how much he would be blessed by making that choice. Hallelujah. Amen. And even when Abraham made the choice, he also made another choice to bring Lot along with him. Hallelujah. And when we look in the scripture, they had to come to a spot where they had to make a choice of separating from one another. And when Abraham gave Lot the opportunity to choose, Lot chose the best of the land. Abraham stayed in the plains, but Lot did not realize where he made the choice to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. He did not realize one day that city would be destroyed by Almighty God. He made the wrong choice. While he was down there in Sodom, God came to him and visited with the two angels and gave him another opportunity. Make a choice to leave Sodom. Throughout life, we'll go from situation to situation where we have to make choices. My encouragement to you, amen, this afternoon, make the right choice. There's results from our choosing. Whether it's good or bad, there's always results from our choosing. Make the right choice. Even in the days of Joshua brought the people, amen, of Israel over into the promised land. And as they were conquering, you know, in the land and claiming the land, Joshua got them to the end, and he began to remind them of all the things that God did. And he set, amen, the word of God in front of the people, says, choose ye this day. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Right? They had to make a choice. The children of Israel had to make a choice. Even today, we have to make a choice. Elijah challenged the children of Israel to not remain halted between two opinions, but to choose whether to serve God or to serve Baal. We find ourselves generation after generation having to make a choice. Ruth chose one day that she was going to go with Naomi. She says, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, I will die. Ruth made the right choice. And when we follow her life, she ended up marrying Boaz.
and end up even being part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. It, because she made the right choice. Orpah, her sister-in-law, had an opportunity to choose. Orpah went back, but Ruth went forth by faith. And look at what her results were. Make the right choice. I want to look at this rich young ruler again, because he made a choice. We read there, amen, in Matthew about this young man and how he approached the Lord Jesus. But, you know, I thank God for a prophet, because this same story in Matthew is also told in the book of Luke. And you know, when we go back and we look at the book of Luke, we see things just say a rich man, a rich man, a rich man, a rich man. But a prophet was able to kind of tie this together. And it tells us that this was the same rich man. Now, here's the other thing about it, is that when you look at Jesus telling the various parables, because in Luke 12, we see that this rich man, he got rich. And he had so many barns. I mean, he had so much stuff that he made some choices in life where, you know what, he got rich. He got wealthy, you know, off of these choices that he made. But the problem is that he didn't consider his soul. He didn't consider his soul, you know. And oftentimes, young people, you have to be careful that sometimes we might make a choice in a career. And that career could be very damaging, amen, to our spiritual walk. Right. Sometimes we have to choose to say no to a job. And God will put it before you. He'll set it for you to see which way you will choose. Sometimes we have to put God first. And I love it, because the Bible actually says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. I've had to say no to jobs sometimes that I knew would take me out of fellowship. But you know what? I saw God bless me more when I said no to that than what I would have had if I would have said yes to it. No matter how much money they're offering, you have to choose Christ. He has to be first. He owns it all anyway. Amen. And there's a lot more where that come from if you just choose God. Here, you know, and oftentimes we have that prayer, Lord, if it's not your will, then God just somehow, no. He doesn't move like that all the time. Right. He wants to see what you're going to choose. Right. And my encouragement is, make the right choice. Sometimes you want mama, daddy to give you the pastor to tell you no. They want to see what you're going to choose. Right. Make the right choice. Amen. You know, this rich young ruler, we found him in Luke 12, and you know, he got to a spot where he was just doing very, very well for himself. He said, you know, I got so much that my barns can't contain it. And he decided that he would build greater barns, you know, than the ones that he had. But the sad part about, you know, where he found himself is that he had not made preparation for his eternal. I shouldn't say eternal, but his resting place after death, because you can't go to hell and live eternally. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's what you receive through Christ. Amen. If you reject Christ, you cannot have eternal life. Just doesn't work that way, right? So he rejected, amen. And when we saw a story there in Luke 12, you know what it is. What I always felt is that Jesus was just really just giving prophecy about this young man. He was just talking about him before they actually met him later on in Luke, right? But he's just telling stories about this young man. And here he got greater after he rejected Christ. This young man got greater riches. He was already a rich young ruler, but he got greater riches after he made the choice to reject Christ. But also it tells us in Luke 16 that this same young man lifted up his eyes in hell. Right. Yes, sir. He made the wrong choice. Yeah, right. And he might have got greater riches. He might have did this. His name might have made it into some great book or something like that. But, you know, ultimately he ended up losing his soul. And the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain this world and then lose his soul? This young man made the wrong choice. Luke 18, we see another little parable about this young man, and we can pull it up. Luke 18, verse 18 through 23. And this is the same story that we read of him in Matthew. It says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, and like I said, it was prophecy. When you look in Luke 12 and Luke 16, Jesus just really talking prophecy of this young man before he actually comes to him and meets him personally. And Jesus already told you now he's going to reject me and what is going to be his end result. Not only saw what his end result was going to be on earth, but his end result and what is going to happen after he left the earth. Look at this. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth up. And I'm going to tell you, I really like that statement. I've actually preached a sermon on that. Keep it from your youth up. I think it's good that this young man had a testimony. Actually, the scripture tells us that Jesus loved him. Jesus absolutely loved him. He appreciated this young man. And I think Jesus would love anybody that can say, I've kept the word from my youth up. I'm in my 50s now, but I've kept the word since a young man. And I'm still keeping it today. I think it's a wonderful testament. We got young people that can raise up, amen, in the house of God and say, I've been keeping the word since my youth up. Amen. What a testimony to hold.
Amen.
He goes on to say this in verse 22. And now when Jesus heard these things, he said to them, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. This young man had a choice that he made that day. His choice was to walk away from Christ. He walked away from Christ, and like I said, you go back and pick up his story in Luke 16, you find that in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He made the wrong choice. Brother Branham makes a statement here in the message, Investments. He says, but this rich young man, now here's something for you businessmen, and I have to close. Notice now, so you'll get this. Let this sink deep in your hearts. By rejecting Jesus, it never stopped his increase of goods. Right? He continued on. Let's follow him a while down through the Bible. His flow of goods got greater. And because your business picks up a little bit, don't you never think that all the time that's God's blessings. The wicked prosper. You know? This man, he got greater. And he got to a place till he was so great till all of his barns bursted almost. He had to build new ones. Now he thought he had done the right thing by turning down Jesus and not making an investment in him. He thought he had done the right thing because in the worldly possessions, if I'm going to say something now, he says, I'm going to say something now. In worldly possessions, he thought he'd done the right thing because he had prospered. And that's what our denominations think, because they organize themselves and their groups become multimillionaires, millionaires and billionaires. They feel that they are it. It says, didn't the Bible say thou art rich and increased in goods to this age, but don't know that you're naked, miserable, poor, wretched, blind, and don't even know it? What a miserable condition. Men and brethren, don't make an investment in something like that. It's bound to perish. Why not make an investment in something that's proved down through the Bible? As you know, with the text I got written here, we could be here tonight still on these texts proven through the Bible. Those who made that and who turned it down, I am showing you a real investment to make. Put your life, your time, your money, your talent, put everything you got in Christ. God guaranteed it. Guaranteed it to us by raising him up again. We'll rise in the last days. He promised it. What more could you look forward to? Tell me any investment you can make would pay off like that. Tell me where you can invest this morning and make $10 million and tomorrow be a corpse. What good would it do you? What profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? What if you're popular and call so-and-so and deacon, presbyter, doctor, bishop, elder, pope, or whatever you might be called? That's the praises of men. I'd rather be called a holy roller by the people and have been a son of God in my heart, with the new birth and the Spirit of Christ dwelling in me, and him proving it by the vindication of his word and making me live the life that I once lived, I don't live no more. Paul said, and yet he was a teacher and a scholar, but he changed his life when he met Christ and made his investment in Christ. He was a different man from then on. Even Paul had to choose to follow Christ. Even Paul had to choose. I mean, Brother Branham had to come to a spot one day where he chose to follow Christ. Amen. Your pastor, amen. Any minister that's standing up before the people, they all had to come to a choice one day to follow Christ. Young people, you're in the same spot. You have to follow. You have to choose to follow Christ. Jesus is a gentleman. He won't force himself on one of us. But he wants us to open our hearts and receive him. The rich young ruler failed to make the right choice. But we have another character in the scripture that we want to compare, and that's with Moses, because Moses chose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God. He had it made. Moses was, you know, you all know the story of Moses' mother and his, think about the choice that his mother and the father had to make. One day when they were there in the house and all Pharaoh and all of his army was going looking for all the babies to try to kill everybody 2 years old and under. They had this law passed, and they wanted them to kill all the little boy babies. And his mother and father made a choice that they were going to put Moses in a little basket and push him out into the Nile River. The choice was so that they probably thought they'd never see their son again. They would never know what happened to their son. They're going to just commit him to the Nile River. Oh, hallelujah. The good thing about the story is that Miriam watched the baby just go down the Nile River, and the baby ended up making it to Pharaoh's court. Pharaoh's daughter out there, you know, bathing in the river, and she sees this basket come up, and she can't have children herself, so she takes it and says, I'm going to make this baby my own. Right. And when Miriam sees that, she pipes up and says, would you like for me to get somebody to help raise the baby for you? And she's like, yeah, go find somebody real quick. Miriam had the perfect person in mind. So I'm going to run back home and tell mama. Mama, they need a babysitter in Pharaoh's court. Well, who am I going to babysit? It's going to be your own baby, mama. Can you believe this? Moses' mother made the choice to give up her baby to the Nile, and now God rewards her by letting her raise her own baby in Pharaoh's court, and she got paid for it. She made the right choice. When Moses was there being raised, and his mother is, remember Brother Branham said, mother's the first teacher. And while he's being raised, but the babysitter has an opportunity to sow some seeds in him, to tell him, you know, this is what happened and that's what happened. And God has called you to be the deliverer. I mean, you're the one, you're a special child, you're a proper child. God has called you to be the deliverer. Moses, don't you get caught up in the things of Egypt. I don't care what they offer. You are a Hebrew. And don't ever forget that. And Moses had the world in his hands. But the Bible tells us that he made a different choice. Let's pick it up in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. Let's read what the Bible says about Moses, how he made the right choice. Yeah, Hebrews 11 verse 23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, see, he had to come to this on his own. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, not just because mama said it, not because daddy said it, no, but I came to this decision on my own. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He looked out the window and saw all the suffering. He says, but I belong to them. I belong to be out there with them. He chose, choosing rather than be in the palace. I choose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
That's right.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses did not realize that his choosing was going to be so great.
Amen.
Look at how God used him to open up a Red Sea. To get him really close to going into the promised land. He had spies go over and spy it all out. I mean, just all the supernatural things that happened down in Egypt before they left. I mean, so many great things. God used this man Moses. But Moses had to make a choice. I encourage you, make the right choice. I don't know what God has for your future, but I know if you make the right choice, great things are in store. There's a couple quotes that I want to read about Moses here, and this was coming out of the message, looking at the unseen. Brother Branham says, Moses, when he had become 40 years old, a young man, and as far as sight was concerned, Moses had the world in his hand. He was the next Pharaoh of Egypt, and he had all the lands in the world right in his hand to be king over the entire earth, knowing of that day. And yet he looked through the window that Pharaoh looked out of, and he saw those Hebrews to Pharaoh who looked upon them. They were nothing but a bunch of mud daubers down there in the mud making brick. To the celebrity as passed by, they were the same. The well-dressed people, that was a bunch of slaves, nothing but mud wallowers. But when Moses looked out the same window, he saw them different because he looked at the unseen and know that God promised that he would deliver them out of the place, out of that place and take them to the land of promise. For he looked at the unseen. He saw the years that were coming ahead. He saw Egypt destroyed. Yet she was in her blossoming time. He saw Egypt as she is today. And he saw Israel all comfortably seated around Abraham in glory. And by faith, he chose to take the worst the religion could give him and compare it with the best the world could give him. And he chose to suffer the reproach of Christ and consider it a great treasure than all Egypt could afford to give him because he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Amen. That's it.
Let's keep on reading. It says, here was Moses. He had his one foot on the throne. This is out of the message to resurrection, I believe. The results of decision. Here was Moses. He had his foot on the throne. He could have turned on Egypt down there and maybe stayed there. But God's promise was to journey through the wilderness and go to the promised land. Got to get in position first. And Moses chose rather to suffer with the people than to sit on a throne down there because it was revealed to him spiritually. And here he was going, and God was proving. Here's how you know whether you're in the right group or not. God always vindicates his church with signs and wonders. No matter how orthodox you are, it depends on whether God is accepting your sacrifice. And here's another that I just love out of this sermon, by faith Moses. Brother Branham talks about Moses making that choice. And we all have to come to a spot where we make the right choice. No matter who we are, no matter what generation we live in, we have to choose.
Right,
from the days of Adam and Eve to our day,
yeah. Yeah,
we have to choose. He said there's a choosing. We choose for ourselves. We choose something that's for our own good. But Moses chose the afflictions and the disgrace that he might walk with the people of God. Think of it now. Listen to it. Choose the afflictions of the people of God and count it a greater treasure. A greater treasure. That's something. I mean, just in your mindset. I think being in a church is greater than me being out there in the world and becoming a millionaire. And serving God, that's better. That's a greater treasure. It goes against common thinking. But yet it's God's way. Look at this. It says this. That he might walk with the people of God. Think of it. Listen to it. Choose the affliction of the people of God and count it a greater treasure, for he endured seeing him who is invisibly. Now Lot one time had to make a choice. And it may be this morning that there'll be men and women sitting here that will make your final choice. The prophet says you are today what you are because several years ago you chose to be what you are now. He says that what you choose now, today, what you choose now will determine what you'll be 5 years from today. He says 5 years from today, you may be a missionary. 5 years from today, you may be a renowned Christian. Or 5 years from today, you may be in hell like the rich young ruler was because you made the wrong decision. It says 5 years from today, you may be cleaning spittoons in a barroom, ashtrays, right? 5 years from today, you may be a prostitute on the street, or you may be a man or a woman that's a credit to any society because of your choice for Christ. He says 5 years from today, you may be in glory, gone in the rapture because you made your choice today. But you've got to choose. And don't look at what you see. Choose what you see by faith. That's the only thing that would count, is what you choose by faith. Brother Branham had to make a choice one day, and I'm going towards the end of this sermon. I'm bringing it to a close. Brother Branham had to make a choice. One day he was there amongst the Baptists. He was an ordained minister there in the Baptist church. And they had a great pastor. But, you know, he come to a spot where he knew God was calling him for more. And they asked him to help ordain women preachers. And Brother Branham, you know, said, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. That's against the word of God, and I can't go against the word of God. You know, I got to stay with the word no matter what the church says. I'm going to stay with what the word says. And so his pastor said, you know what, if you're not going to ordain women preachers, then, you know, we're going to have to take your cart back, and you're not going to be able to be a minister. He said, well, that's fine. You can take my cart. Well, he decided to leave the church. And he told the pastor that God had showed him in a vision that he prayed for kings and important people. He would do all kinds of things like, oh, you a young man, seventh grade education, how are you going to do that? He says, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know God told me that I would do it. Right. He says, yo, you have some really, really bad dreams. That's all you had. You ate the wrong thing. You had some bad dreams. I'm like, well, you can say whatever you want to say, but I'm going to make my choice. I'm going to stay with the word of God. God gave him other pulpits to preach in. And because of his choice, his ministry has impacted the whole world around. Amen. This message is going forth. Yes, right. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for him making the choice. Amen. But one day, Brother Branham was at a meeting, and when he went to the meeting, he preached the sermon. And at the end of the sermon, a brother walked up to him and just began to make comments, you know, about the sermon. Yep. And before you knew it, as the man was making the comments, the man burst out and speaking in tongues. And as he spoke in tongues, he had never spoken tongues one day of his life. But this young man burst out in tongues. And three people walked up and said, you know what? That was perfect French. That was not that. We don't need an interpreter for that. That was perfect French. And the three people that walked up, one guy happened to be, you know, real high up. And I want to read what he said there. But real high up in the government, he's like, I know I'm a French interpreter. And I know that was just perfect French. Had three as a witness. And this is what they said in the message, Standing in the Gap. It says, listen to this. If I can read it, it says, I, Victor Ledoux, am a full-blooded Frenchman, born again Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit. My address is 809 North King Road, Los Angeles, 46. I attend the Bethel Temple, Pastor Arnie Vick, pastor. A true translation that I proclaim, a prophecy said over Brother Branham, given by Danny Henry in French, February 11th, 1961, at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Breakfast, a true translation of the prophecy. Now, here is what it said. Then this man walked up, Danny Henry walked up and spoke in tongues, and this was the interpretation of it. It says, because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way, thou hast walked in your own choosing. You chose to do it the harder way. You chose that. And look at this. It says, now I can see that Moses had to make his choice too. See? It says, thou hast picked the precise and correct way. He made the right choice. Thou hast picked the precise and correct way. Correct decision. And it is my way. And I should have underlined it, because it said, underlined my way, the Holy Spirit speaking back. Yep, right. Right? It says, because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits you, awaits thee. Amen. What a glorious decision. It says, now listen close. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This in itself is that which will make and come to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine.
Amen.
My encouragement to every young person.
Amen.
Make the right choice.
Right. Amen.
Choose to follow God.
Amen. Right.
Choose to serve him with everything you got.
Amen.
This world has nothing to offer.
Nope.
Nothing of eternal value.
Nope.
Deuteronomy 30 and 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you.
Amen.
That I have set before you life and death, yes, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life,
yes,
that both thou and thy seed,
uh-huh,
may live.
Yeah. Right. Man. Right. Praise
let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word has the ability to penetrate, Lord, right where we are. You know how to reach us. You know how to speak to us, God. And I know, Lord, that you would have this sermon ministered here today, because maybe somebody's at a point where they need to make a choice. The encouragement from the Holy Spirit today is to make the right choice. The examples have been set. A rich young ruler who did not make the right choice. Lord, in the scripture, clearly told us that he lifted his eyes in hell. His barns got greater. He was more wealthy. And that's not a sign that it's God's blessing. Sometimes it's Satan that's behind all of that, drawing us further and further away from Christ. I pray that you'd help us to discern it. And to always keep the word first, no matter what decisions we're making. Let us base our decisions on the word of God. Then we know that we're standing on the proper foundation. We also saw Father Moses. He made the right choice. And God, he had to come to a spot where, you know, I no longer want to be called the daughter of Pharaoh. That's not who I am. I'm a child of Israel, and I have to get out there and be with them. I was born to be the deliverer.
Yeah.
And Father, he made the right choice to suffer the afflictions with the people of God,
right,
rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin. So Lord, how you raised him up and how you used him as a mighty deliverer. Even Moses was able to make the statement, the Lord your God will raise a prophet like unto me. What a statement, knowing that Christ was coming. Lord, we thank you that he made the right choice, that we can gain from these examples. And even your prophet, Lord, one day having to leave the Baptist church and stand with the word of God.
Yes.
I think even his first mother-in-law call the Holy Rollers the outcasts. Yeah. But it's, I'm going to make a choice to stay with them. And how, Lord, at the, in his ministry, they're coming, this man prophesies over him because you made that decision. That was the right decision. It was the correct decision. Not only that, it is my way. And this, because you made this decision, is going to make and bring to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. I pray that you bring young people, both those present and those streaming, to a spot where they can make the right choice. God, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'll turn the service back to your pastor at this time.
If anybody has a need, they're getting ready for the food downstairs. This whole world is made out of choices. And that's what's so grand about free moral agency. We're not robots. We're not zombies. We're not that. We're human beings to make a choice. He put us here to make a choice. And that rich young ruler, he thought he had the world in the palm of his hand. And he may have for a little while. But why would we want to lose our soul just for a season, as I said about Moses? He chose that.
Amen.
He chose that.
Amen.
And then we got a prophet in the end time. He chose.
Amen.
He and you know, we could have said that, Brother Jack. We could have said, but God told him.
Oh my.
Through interpretation.
Yes.
God went ahead and put an exclamation point on it.
Amen.
He said, it's just not his opinion. He said, it's my opinion.
Mine.
He said, mine. I'm going to say in tongues where just not everybody can understand it.
That's right.
But a certain group of people. Aren't you glad that he spoke in tongues to me and you?
Amen.
It might have been Kentucky English.
All right.
It might have been Haints and Totes and all those different things, but God spoke to us.
Amen.
Through a prophet.
Amen.
And we chose.
Amen.
To continue to listen.
Hallelujah.
There's a lot of people listen.
That's right.
But we continue to listen.
Amen.
We continue to make that right choice. Amen. As Brother Brandon preached Doors and Doors, and we've been going through the Statue of Perfect Man, you know, you get born again, you let God in your house, they still choices you got to make.
That's right.
Because God, you know, I was telling Brother Jack, I said, now, if I was the Holy Ghost, and then you let me in your house and you had some doors shut, I'd be in there kicking them doors down. Because I want to see what's in there. But thank God for a prophet that said, no, the Holy Ghost is timid.
Amen.
He's going to wait on you to make a choice.
Amen.
And whether you let him in the door or not, that's your choice. I pray today that you let him in your door.
Glory.
Let him in your house.
Amen.
Amen. And then let him be the ruler of your home. Let's sing a song. If you have a need.
This world is not my home.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are aeon, somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. Get up with Jesus so many years ago. I know he'll see me through. Oh, I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door.
Build his kingdom down here. It just crumbled and fell right in front of him. It didn't wait till he gave it to the next generation. It didn't wait till the next one come. God tore it down right in front of his eyes. I pray that he tears every wall that we need to be tore down in front of our eyes, but that we'll make a choice that he didn't make, that we will pick up our cross and follow him. Let's give Brother Jack another hand. Good job. We're going to make a choice to go eat now. We sure appreciate him. Appreciate bringing his wife and his daughter. Boy, sing a song. I'm telling you. There'd be a spot for tomorrow, too. So they always tell people that I voluntold you. I don't volunteer you. I voluntold you. But we sure love good singing. We love good singing. That was heartfelt. That's why I like specials. Specials are heartfelt because it's you doing it to God. You're not doing it for everybody else. Amen. You're doing it for the Lord. You're not up here trying to sing in front of, try to impress people.
Amen.
No. No. We're here to do one thing, and that's worship God.
Amen.
Amen. So let's bow our heads. We'll go eat, and then the young kids, there's things for y'all to do. Get with Sister Rachel and different ones. In the rooms, little crafts and stuff. And then the older ones in the back room probably are somewhere in there. We'll have Bible trivia. We have some Chick-fil-A gift cards for the winners of some of the games. But maybe not the young kids, but the older kids. And you can't use them tomorrow. I told somebody one time, I said, I'm going to give you some Chick-fil-A. I'm going to give you $500 Chick-fil-A gift cards. Can't use them but on Sunday. But we appreciate Chick-fil-A. We do appreciate Chick-fil-A and their stand for Christianity.
Amen.
As much as they know,
right. Their
stand for Christianity, I really do. They know, and I praise God that McDonald's was the king of kings. They open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They still can't whip Chick-fil-A in sales. And Chick-fil-A closed on every Sunday. So praise God.
Amen.
God will make the devil bow.
Amen.
Amen. If you make a stand for God,
Glory. God
will make the devil see.
Amen.
I don't care how he makes him see, that's fine.
Amen.
But he made them see, the world see, that if you'll trust God and put your trust in him, God's just not for the bride.
Amen.
God's just not for the bride. Right. Brother Jack, I told him many times before, there's going to be way more people in heaven than there are bride.
Oh, my. Right. Yes, sir.
By the millions and billions more that were instead of bride.
That's right.
But people that give their life for the gospel. People that took a stand in this evil age.
Amen.
They're not going to be bride, but they'll be given eternal life. They're going to have the same eternal life you do.
Amen.
They're going to live just the same length of time you are.
Yes, sir.
But you're going to be able to tell them about how your candle got lit.
Amen.
And we'll have plenty of time to do it. Plenty of time. So let's bow our heads. We're going to, visitors go eat first, and we're going to eat a meal and then do what we said. And remember, in the morning, 10 o'clock, no Sunday school, so we'll start at 10 with song service. I have Brother Jack in the pulpit somewhere around 10:30. So just keep that in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that we've heard, Lord. But as human beings, Lord, we have to have a natural meal also included in this. So I pray, Lord, that you'd sanctify that natural food. Let it be to the nourishment of our body, Father. But let the words that we heard today up here, Lord, the eternal word of God that we'll be eating on for eternity, Father, that's already been blessed. Now, Father, I pray that we will be that our brother said. The choices that we make, let us listen to you, Father, and not listen to the world. Because this world truly is not our home. We're just passing through. Just having a human experience. And then we're heading back to eternity. Father, I pray that you'd be with us, Lord. Be with Brother Jack. Keep him strong for tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, Lord, that are not with us. Some that are traveling. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the bride around the world, Father. Just bless each one. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and our mistakes that we make. And Lord, ever be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
There's a river of life flowing.